Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we're joined by our good friend, a person I could trust in the radio conversation.
You said an alternative that to Thanksgiving turkey.
That would be Scott Petrick. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Scott.
Why, you don't Scott, do you eat anything other than turkey sometimes at Thanksgiving?
No, not as the main thing, no.
But there's
all turkey.
I mean, some people may have ham. Some people may like to have a brisket.
Family. Nope.
Nope.
Just turkey.
Turkey.
Just turkey for you?
Yeah.
Now maybe spam.
This is what I work with, Scott. This is what I work with.
I feel for you, Andy.
It's not fair. It's not fair. Hey, you know what would be really interesting? Condoleezza Rice is the head coach of the Browns. What'd you think when you heard that yesterday?
Scott.
Yeah, that's not how I was expecting to spend the Sunday during the bye week, I'll tell you that. You know, the name's interesting, obviously. It's a huge name. It had people curious and thinking and wondering. I don't think she's ever a candidate, right? I mean, that's what John Dorsey said. She's never discussed. She put out the Facebook post saying, you know, she's not a coach. And so, you know, I'm not sure exactly where it came from. I think it's good that it kind of started this discussion about women and can there be a future woman head coach. I like that discussion. I just don't like how it happened with her because there's no way she was going to be the head coach. No football background. It seems like a weird name to surface when it did.
All right, so let me put you through the test that Jeff and I were going through this morning. Jeff said there's no way, not without two sources, would he have ever gone without that. And I'm like, look, Jeff, if you're Adam Schefter and someone from within the organization is telling you that her name has come up in discussions, you go with it. I would have gone with it. And maybe I would have prefaced it with my own thoughts around the outside of it. But, Scott, would you have gone with it? If somebody that you trusted inside the organization said, hey, I got to be honest with you, Condoleezza Rice's name is coming up, would you have gone with it?
Yeah, depending on who it is.
Right.
You know, and I don't know who told Adam. But I guess my question is, let's say it's John Dorsey. Let's say John Dorsey's talking about his coaching search to Adam Schefter. Adam says, hey, I saw the quote about the, you know, you'd consider a woman. Is that legit? And he says, yeah, I'd like to interview Condoleezza Rice. Well, that's a story, except then you got to go to John. Were you serious about it? Like, is she really on your list to interview? And I think that's where the story would have broken down. Because, obviously, the Browns weren't prepared to say she was on the list. John Dorsey puts out the quote. Condoleezza puts out the Facebook post. So I think something was lost in translation unless, you know, it's not John Dorsey and somebody else inside the organization said, yes, she's a serious, we really want to interview her, and they just didn't have that from John Dorsey, and that's why the story kind of broke down.
Would you like to see Condoleezza Rice be an NFL executive, be a team executive?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's what I said, too.
Yeah, she's going to do it. You know, we know she's a Browns fan. I looked up a story I'd written in 2010 when she visited. She told all these stories about growing up, cheering for the Browns. And that's good. Obviously, she's incredibly smart. She's becoming more and more involved in sports. She was on the college football playoff committee, the college basketball, whatever, some kind of committee or something like that. They looked into what they can do to change college basketball, a commission, I think. You know, she's a member at Augusta National. Like, she's really involved. I would have no problem with that. To me, it seemed like almost a Paul D. Podesta thing. He didn't have a football background, but yet the Browns thought that he would add value to the organization. And I think there's plenty of people that don't have, quote-unquote, football backgrounds that can add quality to your organization. They're just not ready to be a head coach. And this isn't saying a woman can't be a head coach, because I believe someday – that isn't out of the realm of possibility. And it bothers me when people dismiss it out of hand and laugh at it. But this is probably not the right time because nobody's come close to being a head coach. And she certainly doesn't seem to be the right candidate just because she doesn't have any coaching background.
There is that. Hey, is this week all going to be Hugh Jackson week? Please tell me it's you hope so.
Jeff, you need something to write about at 3-6-1.
Scott, I get that.
I personally find it fascinating. And I don't think the whole week will be about it, but I expect it to come up starting today and then throughout the week. And I think the one or two cameras will be glued on to on the sideline Sunday, especially in pregame. I'm fascinated to see the reaction pregame, or the interaction pregame, whether it's the Haslams, John Dorsey, Baker Mayfield, whoever it is, how they react or interact with you before the game. And then and people might disagree with me, but I think Cincinnati's going to have a big advantage having the head coach 3 weeks ago in your building now. Not only does he know each player's strengths and weaknesses, he knows the playbook on both sides of the ball. He might have taken the playbooks with him, because I'm sure nobody said, hey, you better leave those here because you might wind up in Cincinnati. I think it could be a huge advantage, and I think the Browns coaching staff probably spent a lot of the bye week changing verbiage and audibles so that Cincinnati doesn't know what's coming.
I would think so. I would hope so.
Yeah,
but here's my fear. Did they do it with the guys while they were at home? Because you're really not implementing that until today, right, when they got back.
Right, yeah. I think it was mostly coaching staff. And then, you know, Greg Williams said they'd be Skyping and texting or whatever, so maybe they emailed out, you know, they have the surfaces now. Maybe they put out something on Wednesday or Thursday and said, hey, get a look at these new terms for whatever plays because we have to switch things up because of him.
Any chance A.J. McCarron will be on the field just to have a big group hug?
just for fun?
Yeah, just throw him back out there. No big deal. I mean, just to make sure the storyline's there. You know, Scott, I got to tell you, and I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, but after the way the team played against Atlanta, I kind of was like, I don't know if this is a good week for a bye week. These guys played as well as I've seen, and I know you got to take it, but man, it would have been nice to have a game last week or yesterday.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see how they would have kind of built on that momentum. I mean, you know, it helps to get healthy. I think a lot of guys are battling injuries, so that part of the bye is good. But what it will be interesting. I mean, they haven't won back-to-back games in forever, and we saw they beat the Jets and then they went to Oakland and lost. They beat the Ravens, and then they laid a big egg the next week against the Chargers. So maybe the bye week gave them a chance to come down, and now they can get back up to where they need to be to string some wins together. Because that, you know, the Browns have to win on the road. They haven't done that in 2 years or whatever it is, 2.5 years, and they haven't won back-to-back games in a long time. So I think that's the next step, is we see a lot of progress being made. I would put those two things, like the next things on your to-do list.
Scott Patrak joining us, Chronicle-Telegram. We can read all of his work at brownzone.com. Nick Chubb was terrific. Duke Johnson looks good. I love the combination together. How do you see that being used the rest of the way? Is it going to be something where they maybe really try to emphasize those two guys and take some of the heat off of Baker Mayfield and the passing game and maybe not a very deep wide receiving core? Or are they just going to go ahead and try and develop the passing game?
I think you can see a lot of running. I know it's only been two games, but that seems to be what Freddie Kitchens wants to do as a coordinator and a play caller. And I think you're right about taking stress off Baker Mayfield. And Freddie came from the running backs room. I know he's a former quarterback, but he came from the running backs room. After that Falcons game, guys in the locker room were talking about how Freddie was saying, hey, we're going to run it 20,000 times. Like, he just wants to be that kind of guy. And I think it helps Baker because the play action, Baker was good on play action in college. And I think I've seen more play action in the couple of weeks under Freddie calling the plays. And that helps. It defines reads. It gets receivers open because the linebackers have to take a step toward the line of scrimmage. So I think you're going to continue to see that. That doesn't mean you'll ignore Baker. I mean, Baker threw for 42 times against the Chiefs, and, you know, I think that's too many. Maybe 25 to 30 is ideal for this team with the receivers that it has. But I don't think Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson are going anywhere. But I have been a little surprised that Duke hasn't gotten many carries. It's been a lot of Nick Chubb carries and then throwing the ball to Duke. And I could see kind of twisting that up a little bit to keep defenses off balance.
Scott, I can't remember the last time I actually sat down and said, you know what, I want to watch the Monday Night Football game. And tonight's one of those nights with Chiefs-Rams. Your thoughts on this game tonight? And, man, we could see a total shootout. What's the over-under? Is ridiculous, isn't it? It's like 59 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, 60? It feels like the game's going to be 60-something, right?
Yeah, 61, I mean,
32-31, yeah. I mean, that's what it feels like. Now, you never know. Sometimes these games come out and it doesn't happen like that, but I'd be stunned if we didn't see a ton of points. I'm like you. I'm really looking forward to this game, especially after yesterday. You know, I got to sit, and I was writing all day, but I was sitting in front of the TV with football on, and there just weren't a lot of good games. That New Orleans-Philadelphia game I thought was going to be good, kind of a dud. The Chicago-Minnesota game was all right, but nothing special. You know, even that Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game is a good ending, but there's a lot of dull in the middle. So
you got to admit that was a great call at the end of that game too with Roethlisberger. I mean, he had a couple options there. And
well, for a guy that doesn't, you know, a guy that doesn't like to run, for him to take it on his shoulders, you know, that team is looks like the Super Bowl contender we thought they were before the season, for sure. And that was a gutty win, and you know, it just shows you Jacksonville falling off, and they've had all these chances to win that game to get them back on track, and then they couldn't do it, and now they're finished. But I'm looking forward to this game tonight. I think it's going to be so much fun to watch.
I do too. All right, so the rest of the way, you have six games for the Browns. What do you want to see? And if you see it, does Greg Williams have a shot?
I want to see wins. And I think 3-3 is not out of the question. The schedule's not easy, but I don't think it's incredibly difficult. We saw Carolina lose yesterday at Detroit, so that I think you can add that to the winnable games. So go 3-3, and then you're 6-9-1, and I think that's huge progress from 1-15 and 0-16. I want to see Baker continue to develop and just be more consistent, and that's from an accuracy standpoint, from a win standpoint, and I think he's headed in the right direction. And then see the young guys develop. Antonio Callaway, you know, I need to see more from him, not just one or two plays a game. And you can say that about other rookies, Jarnard Avery, a lot of the young guys. I want to see the progress over the last 6 weeks. And as far as Greg, I don't think Greg has a chance to keep this job. I think the only chance would be if they went like 5-1 over the last six games. And then you'd have to give him serious thought. I just think there's too many other good candidates out there that I wouldn't want to fall in love with Greg just because he had a strong finish.
Scott, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Enjoy the turkey.
Thank you, guys. You enjoy your spam, Andy.
Thank you,
Scott.
Oh, spam. Way to go. Thanks, Scott.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.